WPFW Washington.
Uh-oh. Is our music?
Oh,
what's
up
going on here?
Live from
Bus Boys and Poets at 14th and Beach.
It's the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry D. Kester. It's seriously funny, and it begins right now.
Welcome to another edition of the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Kester, the Doctor of Sagacity.
The Doctor? What happened to the Doctor of Democracy?
Doctor of Democracy died about 20 years ago. Haven't you been watching? Good grief.
Had a very sick patient there,
I mean,
Terry.
Yeah, no question about it.
I think Citizens United killed Democracy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we're on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on 89.3 FM, WPFW. And tonight, we are also on WEAC Radio, which is 1480 AM. So you can listen to us on WPFW. You can go online. We're streaming.
Yes, we are.
Doesn't matter if you are in an ice camp in the Arctic somewhere. If you can get access to the internet, you can certainly listen to WPFW and WEAC Radio and the Raucous Caucus. We are here. For those who are out there riding around in the car looking for something to do, there's a really great event going on. We are at Bus Boys and Poets here, 14th and V Northwest, and we are having a Juneteenth event. We're going to be here from 7 to 8 p.m.
We're going to be live on radio from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll probably stick around afterwards if you want to hang out. So this is
your
chance. If you're driving around and you want to come join us for some really good food, good company, and really it's a town hall meeting. We got like 50 people here. Everybody, shout out. Let them hear you on the radio. We have a really large crowd, but there's still a couple seats left, and we'd love to see you join us here because we're going to talk about what President Obama, should he win a second term, what his agenda should be.
And in 8:15, by the way, and I hope you're ready, we're marching on the White House. You know, we've got an appointment there, so be ready. We're going to take it to the streets.
Terry, you have an appointment at the White House?
I have an appointment to take it to the streets, yes.
What do you mean we, Terry? I think I'll be out front drinking Arnold Palmer or something.
All these fine people, I know they're ready.
We'll watch you, Terry. We'll watch you march.
Yeah, coat holders.
We'll watch the cops arrest you
in
front of the White House.
We'll watch democracy die.
We got a lot of important things to talk about. What we're going to talk about this hour is how we can affect our agenda, how we can get President Obama to do some of the things that we talked about for the first half hour. Before I start, I certainly do want to acknowledge a couple of guests here. First of all, in act laughing there, believe it or not, Jerry Peliquin, who was a founding drummer for the group Jefferson Airplane. How cool is that?
Hey.
Founding member of Jefferson Airplane. All right. And
you didn't tell me we're having important people.
Yes, and one more very important, Nancy Silverkleit. In case you might have heard of a few characters such as Jughead and
Archie
and Veronica and Betty.
There's no sense in giving out our nicknames.
Jughead. I was talking about Mark here.
We'll
change it. Nancy is the owner and the co-CEO of Archie Comics. Stand up, Nancy. Let's have a big
Nancy.
Hand. A great part of America.
Yeah.
And she's going to be joining us for a show in July over at, she's going to join
That's
us for
true.
A, yeah, she's
over,
going to
over
do a
there
show.
At Ben's Next Door.
Yep.
Let me say this. I'm really excited by the fact that this is on Juneteenth. Now, it just happened that June 19th is a Tuesday night. For those of you that don't know, and this room is a pretty sophisticated crowd, I bet most of you do know, but Juneteenth is the day, June 19th, or frankly, we're not sure exactly what day, but in June 1865, when the very last slaves in Texas found out that they were freed. See, the Civil War ended in April 1865, but for some reason it took the slave owners in Texas 3 months to finally admit to their slaves that they were no longer slaves anymore.
Well, now, they didn't just find out. It took a Union Army general
That's true.
To head down to Texas, to march into Texas and say, look, this is the way it is, you clowns. And I think that's a good idea. We should do that right now.
March down to Texas
and say, this
I don't
want
to go to Texas.
You know, get Governor Perry aside and say, look, you moron, this is how it's going to be.
I'll tell you something. To me, what this makes clear, though, is that you can have a very important decision like the end of the Civil War, like the Emancipation Proclamation, and if the word doesn't get out, it's like it didn't happen. The slaves still were slaves, not because they weren't free, but because they didn't know they were free. And to me, that just segues nicely into the importance of progressive media. Because if you don't know the truth, then you can't live the truth. And to me, that's part of the lesson of Juneteenth.
And there's another part of the truth to that historically, which is fascinating. The general went down and said, look, the slaves are free, and that's all there is to it, okay? The slaves are free. And the slave, but then he told them the slaves have to basically stay where they are and go back to the plantations or wherever they're working. The only difference is they were supposed to get wages. But of course, nobody told them what kind of wages, how much. So Texas, of course, came up with, invented slave wages. The first thing President Obama's got to do to get to our topic, you know, is to make sure that Texas is out of the union. I don't care how they do it. Just get it out of the union entirely.
I don't know that we can do that.
Yeah. We can do that.
Terry is full of really great ideas
that are not very practical. Yeah, all right. Come on. Yeah.
In essence.
And he's not too crazy about
Texas. Let me tell you what I think should be on President Obama's second term agenda, and really should be on his first term agenda. To me, you can't even talk about issues, whether it's medical marijuana, I heard that in the first hour from the crowd here, or jobs, which is a very important issue, until we basically take our democracy back. And to me, the fact that the Republican Party in state after state is trying to prevent people from voting, they're trying to prevent young people from voting through a very clever way of saying, you can't vote at home because you're in college, and you can't vote in college because you're not a resident there, so guess what? You just can't vote. Which in my constitution is a violation of the 26th Amendment.
You can vote there if you have a gun permit.
Over the age of 18 to vote. But they're also trying to prevent black people from voting. Of course, in Georgia, there was that famous, where they wanted to get, voter ID cards for everybody. And picture ID cards. But of course, poor people are the least likely to have voter ID cards. Minorities have voter ID cards much less often. So they set up agencies all across Georgia to allow people to have voter ID cards in most counties. There was one area of Georgia, though, that they neglected to include.
It was a very small municipality.
It was called Atlanta. It's a true story. They set up places in all the white areas of Georgia, but if black folk wanted to get a voter ID to vote, they had to travel, and many of them did not have access to cars or public transportation. Now, this was struck down by the President Obama's Department of Justice, but and they are starting to strike down a lot of these things. They struck down a law in Florida, for example, that said that if you register voters, that you had to turn in the registered votes within 48 hours or those people couldn't vote. Because we all know that voting is kind of like bad meat out in the sun. If you leave it alone for 2 days, it rots, apparently.
Pretty much.
That was their logic. Anyway, that's been struck down too. But my point is this. Between voting rights and Citizens United, all the money in politics, we are seeing basically our right to vote taken away. And when you start having improper elections, you start losing legitimacy of the very people in office. So it began with Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court choosing our president, following up with taking away our right to vote, and then third with flooding our system with all this money. To me, until we get some legitimacy and fair elections, we can't even talk about future issues.
So we've got, looks like we have some people that are already and in the starting gate, ready to be a part of the conversation. And don't forget, if you're out there, we've got plenty of time. You can come write the Bus Boys and Poets here on 14th and V and be a part of the conversation. And we have an audience member.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Byrd, and I'm the host of the Education Town Hall on WEAC Radio. Proud to be a part of the local LiveWire content. Someone mentioned earlier education as being a priority. David brought up a question about should the federal government take the lead or should they just give money to states and localities. And I wanted to try to wrap that up a little bit because education is the preeminent issue that I deal with for the last 10 years. And so the federal government needs to provide guidance. They need to provide funding. They need to leverage all the good things that are going on. This notion of race at the top creates winners and losers. That's a loser in and of itself. You need to raise all boats. So they need to get rid of this corporate deformed model that has been inflicted upon us by Arnie Duncan.
Tom, explain to me, it's your view that there needs to be a greater federal role in education or a lesser federal role? I'm just trying to understand your view.
There needs to be a smarter federal role. I think there's probably an adequate presence federally, but the way they're going about it is totally ridiculous. I have people in this room that could probably come up with a better plan. I see Virginia Spatz back there, who's an education advocate here in the District of Columbia. So there are a lot of people that could give them guidance and counsel.
Do I come to education?
Yeah, I want to pick up on sort of a getting back to our original issue, you know, what to push President Obama for. And, you know, I'm going to cut to the quick on this. If we remain as divided as we are, even in this room, we are committing political suicide. And by divided, I mean, I don't mean that any of your issues aren't valid. Every single issue that has been brought up here today is valid. But if you recall when social movements have really made a difference in this country, there's been a unification. Anthony was sort of addressing that just a moment ago. And it's addressed well in the opening song that we saw in the video that was presented. You know, it's not about black, it's not about brown, it's not about red. You know, it's about 7 billion people. The point is, and you all know this, you don't really maybe want to admit it, but you know, our democracy is over. It is gone. We don't have a democracy in this country anymore, and we haven't had it in one hell of a long time. And somehow or other, we have got to find a way, no matter what your issue is, fight for your issue. But the first thing you should fight for, even while you're fighting for your issue, is unification. And I do mean unification, and not just the black community, but all communities. Because if you don't do that, and if we don't do that to push President Obama to realize the one single point, which is we are being economically raped in this country by the corporations, by the banks, all of those who are in various power positions in our government as well. And this rape is worldwide. And if we aren't honest about that and realize that that's really what's going on, and if we aren't unified behind that and fight for some kind of really economic justice in this country, then we haven't got a chance for statehood or any of these other small issues. We've got to go, we've got to drive a stake into the heart of what's killed the American promise.
And we want something we would...
Not that I'm passionate about it.
No, Terry, no. Just, you know...
Terry, are you off your meds again? Yeah. Take your meds. Calm down.
Yeah. Well, he didn't lose it too much today. So Terry's doing. We're keeping him at bay.
If you fall asleep, you may still think we have a democracy. So maybe we can just put you to sleep.
But we certainly have some more questions we want to get to in the audience. And don't forget, one thing we want to talk about this hour, and that is, how do we go about getting this done? How do we go about getting the president to do to address our agenda in the second, in his second term? And of course, we're going to go to calls, but we're going to go to the audience. But, the important thing is ensuring that we are part of the political process. One of the things I got to say here is, for all their faults and ideological issues, the Tea Party has been able to be a part of the political process. They have infiltrated the infrastructure of their party, and they're dragging their party around by its ear. That's what progressives need to do. We need to stop turning on, instead of saying, well, let's beat up and punish the Democratic Party, we need to infiltrate the infrastructure and drag it around by its ear. We already see that it can be done. But we've got someone
I just want to support that, because the basic difference with the Tea Party is they're basically unified on their basic issues.
Let me say this real quick.
Albeit the flawed issues that they are.
Many of you know I used to work as an attorney in Congress. The Democratic Party, I hear a lot of talk on both my radio shows, frankly, both on the Inside Scoop and the Rockets Caucus. The Democratic Party has deserted us. The Democratic Party is the same as Republicans. Let me say something. The Democratic Party is ripe for the picking. We can take over the Democratic Party just as much as the Tea Party took over the Republican Party. All we do is we get involved. And that means getting involved in primary campaigns, getting involved in congressional campaigns, getting out there, helping people get elected. If you help people get elected, they often turn to you for advice after they are elected. So I know a lot of people get upset at the Democratic Party and they want to drop out of the system. Let me tell you that in my humble opinion, that's exactly the wrong response.
And when was your opinion ever humble, Mark?
But in my opinion, if you are upset by the process, you need to get more involved, not less involved.
All right. And our audience member. Thank you. We've got an audience member. Let's take this conversation in an intellectual direction and move to some audience member.
Okay. My name is Virginia Spatz, and I don't actually have anything to specifically recommend to follow up on what Thomas Bird was saying about federal involvement in K-12 education. But I do have an education idea which I think will really help. I have seen that as people learn more about what ALEC is all about and they understand where money is going, when people understand what the Koch brothers are doing and what the Walton Foundation is doing, they get more involved and they're trying to stop the laws about that allow our gun violence, the laws that allow these crazy voter ID checks. And I think that in some ways, the way that we can force Obama to do what we know he needs to do is by doing what we need to do, which is to stop these kinds of lobbying organizations that have really taken control.
That's a really good point. And one of the things that makes Alex so successful, thank you for that. One of the things that makes Alex so successful, the legislative education, I forget what it stands for.
Crooks.
Crooks.
That's what I call them.
Stands for crooks. What Alec is, and it's some acronym that I don't want to remember, but basically what it is it's a bunch of corporations getting together in quiet, in secret, and then they funnel a lot of money to mostly state legislatures. They also do some to Congress, but the vast majority of it goes to state legislatures, and they're the most powerful people that many of us had never heard of. And so I'm really glad that you brought up Alec, because what they are is a great way for secret money to have influence. And the reason I began this discussion talking about the system, and to me, voting rights and money are part of the same system. If you can't have legitimately elected candidates for office, then we truly don't have a democracy, as Terry pointed out. It's
Thank
just
you.
Dead. So one of the ways they're not legitimate, of course, is money. And with Citizens United, the same Supreme Court that chose our president, even though the American people chose Al Gore, even though the people of Florida chose Al Gore, that same Supreme Court then said, well, if we could choose the president of the United States, we can do anything. And they basically made our system not one person, one vote, but $1, one vote. And the scary thing about Citizens United, it's not even what's in the case, but how far it's been taken. Because the Republican Party used to say, in fact, before Citizens United, just 3 years ago, they said, we want unlimited donations, sure. We want billionaires to have a billion times more power than the homeless, sure. But we believe in full disclosure, they used to say. Mitch McConnell used to say that. But the moment they got unlimited donations, every single Republican in Congress, including so-called moderates like Olympia Snow, said no disclosure. So Republicans don't just support billionaires controlling our political system. They want it all done secretly. They want it all done under the table. And to me, when you're talking about Alec, that's the big thing. This is all done quietly. When Alec was exposed, and when big corporations like Walmart were made very clear they were supporting this, people stopped shopping at Walmart, and Walmart stopped giving to Alec. So part of what we have to do as progressives is to find out who's giving to them. And the other thing, and this is, I don't know what Garland and Terry think about this, but in my view, if we don't know who's giving, call them out anyway. Because you know what? All we have to do is say the Koch brothers have never denied they gave $10 billion to Mitt Romney. They haven't disclosed how much they've given. So they, you know, they're not, Sheldon Adelson says he's giving $100 million. How do we know he's not giving $10 billion? How do we know that with Walmart, if you don't deny you're giving to Alec, we're going to assume you are. That's the only thing we can do because we don't have these disclosures.
All right, let's go to the young lady in the green.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Margaret Flowers, and I'm the co-host of Clearing the Fog. Speaking truth to expose the forces of greed, which airs on LiveWire every Monday morning at 11 a.m. I'm also a strong single-payer advocate, and so I want people to be aware of the Supreme Court decision, which is happening in the next week around the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act. This mandate, which forces people to purchase private insurance with hundreds of millions of our tax dollars going directly to the private corporations of the insurance companies. And this is wrong. It's unconstitutional. What is constitutional is a national Medicare for All health program. Everybody in, nobody out. And for those of you who are going to say, oh, but this is the President Obama's bill, let's remember that this bill came from Romney in Massachusetts.
That's true.
And it is not working there. 78% of people in Massachusetts in a recent poll say that their health costs are higher under this bill. They can't afford health care. It's a serious difficulty for them. Obama passed a Romney bill. It's not good for any of us. The former head of the DNC, Howard Dean, said today at the Campaign for America's Future, he does not like the individual mandate. Keith Ellison said, this is our opportunity to define the debate. If this bill goes down, to push for a national Medicare for All and finally achieve health justice in the United States. Elevate ourselves to the same level as every other industrialized nation in this world and give comprehensive, lifelong, universal health care in this nation. So I urge you to get involved, to join us at the Supreme Court when they make their decision this week. Join us Monday at the National Press Club for a press conference. And what we have to realize is that it's the system that's broken.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. Thank you. And let's not forget, let's throw this out there.
I love angry white women.
Yeah, and let me jump in here because...
I love angry white women.
What was just offered to us is a beautiful point, and I thank you, because that is something that we can focus on and unify behind. And that's what has to happen. If we could just push that one single issue of universal health care, single payer, everybody under Medicare, if we could unify behind that issue and focus and push it throughout, and if perchance we won that, then that alone would begin to change the fabric of America.
Exactly.
But we've got to focus on something as big and as important as she just brought out. We should join her at the Supreme Court. We should make sure that the Supreme Court knows where we stand. March if we have to. It's got to be something that big, that clear, that fundamental. It has to be.
I just want to say this. I disagree with you on the constitutionality question. I think it's fully constitutional. But here's the point. We may disagree now, but come Monday, we're going to be on the same side. Look, I absolutely agree. I've always said that universal coverage is better than the current bill. I happen to think the current bill is better than nothing, but I think they're going to strike it down. And whatever our disagreement, come Monday, we'll be marching together. Let me suggest a couple political ways that I think are easier to do this. I think if you say single payer, you lose people. Everyone in this room knows what single payer is. Everyone in this room knows what universal coverage is. My favorite way of calling this is Medicare for all. And the reason I like that term, and it's just a political choice, it's the same bill, it's because every American knows what Medicare is. And a recent poll of Medicare recipients showed that 94% of people on Medicare like Medicare, which is an amazing statistic. I don't know that 94% of Americans agree on anything, but they agree that Medicare, those that are on Medicare, support Medicare. So I've always suggested the simplest fix to our health care bill, it doesn't require a 2,200-page legislation. It's really easy. I can say it in one sentence. Take the Medicare bill and strike out all the places that says 65. And now we have universal health care. And we do it through something that the Supreme Court has already acknowledged is constitutional. And it's something that, frankly, every other industrialized nation in the world and some non-industrialized nations have, universal health care. Let me just say this. In those 35 nations, in every one of them, health care is substantially cheaper than the United States. And in every one of them, every person is covered. And in every one of them, they live longer than the American people do.
That's right.
We should learn from other nations.
Thank you. We want to go
and
to the.
And they have a lower.
That's right.
We want to go to the gentleman back in the back in the gray. And keep in mind, the question is, and let me throw this out: if Mitt Romney becomes president, these are discussions we're not even going to be having anymore. And so let's talk about some of the things we can do. We know we have. $395 million coming from the Koch brothers. We know we have a lot of money. Some people may say, well, there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, the Republicans sure must think so because they're throwing a whole lot of money after their people. But at any rate, we've got a gentleman back there.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
I think that your point about Medicare for all is exactly right. It's just we got to go do a drop two words campaign. Drop the two words over 65. That's all we got to do, and the problem is solved.
Simple bill.
And I think that is a very clearly constitutional choice, and Obama's was clearly unconstitutional in my view, and I think the court will reaffirm that. But my point is bigger than that. The point that I want to make that Medicare for All shows is we have to think beyond what's politically realistic in Washington, D.C., from Obama, from the Republicans, from the Democrats. None of them are solving our problems. None of them even confronting our problems. Obama's debating about whether the richest man in the world should pay the same taxes as his secretary. That's not the issue. Should we go back to the Eisenhower tax, where the richest paid 91%? How about the Nixon tax, where they paid 70%? Or the Reagan tax, where they paid 50%? Not the richest man paying the same as his secretary. That's nonsense. We need to fight this wealth divide. What we have is a corrupt system.
Yes.
And it makes no difference whether it's Obama or Romney. We have to be to do the same thing either way. We have to organize a movement that is nonpartisan.
You got it.
Independent and seeking transformation, not nitpicky change. Our system is corrupt deeply and needs transformation, revolutionary change. And that's what we got to be working toward, building a movement. Because no matter who gets in office, they're going to be funded by Wall Street and the corporate powers and answering to them. President Obama passed a Wall Street insurance. He passed a non-regulation of Wall Street that allowed derivatives to run free. that allowed J.P. Morgan Chase to lose $2 to $8 billion in derivatives trading. That's his regulation. That sucks. We don't want that. We want real change. He hasn't even talked about the prison industrial complex yet. I don't know why you're all so supportive of Obama and why you want to waste your time in Washington, D.C. on an election that makes no difference. The Electoral College is decided in Washington, D.C. No matter how we vote here, Obama gets our vote. No matter how we vote in Maryland, Obama gets our vote. In Virginia, it's up in the air, but right now, Obama gets our vote there, too. So that doesn't matter. We should put our energy into
Virginia
building.
May well decide this election.
We should put our money, our time and money into building a movement in the streets. That's what will change.
Here, here.
Thank
elections
you.
Elections
yes.
are a
you
fraud.
Got
elections
got
are a mirage. Right. Don't waste your time on them.
Thank you for your comment. Here's what I would say about this. This is what I would say. When we say that the system is corrupt, and this is what this event is all about. When we say that the system is corrupt, we have to remember something. We're part of the system. That's the important part. We are a part of the system. When we don't take our position and our accountability, when we don't vote, when we don't take to the streets, when we don't do what Occupy did, when we don't do, God forbid, what the Tea Party has done, when we are not part of the system, think, how well would the civil rights movement have worked if they'd have just said, well, you know what, let's just back out of the system and not be part of it?
They did.
It wouldn't have worked.
That's exactly what they did.
No, well, they fought
from it. They did not go through the system. They marched down to Birmingham, Alabama. They marched in the street. They did not play the game.
Ah, I would say this. They worked. They worked both inside of the system and outside
that
of
was
the
later.
System.
That
they,
was later.
They took to the streets. They put the pressure on the politicians,
right.
And then they went to the politicians and said, you got to give us what we want.
Because we were already in the
streets. Because just one of them won't work. Well, Jerry, we've got Jerry, and look. He's the founding drummer for Jefferson Airplane,
right.
So I'm sorry.
Okay.
This guy takes precedence over you guys.
How much time we have?
A musician. We got a drummer here. We got to listen to this guy.
Okay.
All right.
A classic definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. If you want change in America, if you want change, you cannot change the parts. You have to change the system.
Yes.
There is nothing so powerful as the moral will of the people. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can stand against it. However, we do not have a democracy. The gentleman, doctor of democracy up there, is absolutely correct. We have a plutocracy.
Thank you.
We have not had a democracy for many, many years.
Amen.
And now the Bill of Rights has been eviscerated. Mr. Mason is doing high revolution turns in his grave. It's all about the money. It's all about them.
The question is, what do we do about this?
Yeah, right. Wait for me, brother. I'm coming.
All right. hang on. He's just beginning.
The Federal Reserve System. How many people know what the Federal Reserve is? You know why they were formed? The Federal Reserve was formed to provide a flexible currency in times of tight liquidity.
That's true.
What are we in now? Under Rule 13 of the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve can discount paper from commercial banks. Think this one through. Let Obama sign an order and release the Richmond Fed. Release the Richmond Fed to take discount commercial paper from DC banks. You want to see the liquidity problem go away? You want to see people being hired? You want to see people coming to DC to start new businesses? You want to see DC entrepreneurs flourish? Do that. Step number one. I have more, but I'm done talking for now.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And of course, it always comes back. It always comes back to economic equality. That's where it always comes back to people having an opportunity to get an education, to people having an opportunity to get a job. You know, I have some friends that work with prison education. At one time, there were over 3,000 programs in prisons across America to help educate prisoners. Now there's 6, and they were exceptionally successful. I see we're about to go to break.
We've got to go to a break. So let's just say, for those of you listening on the radio, there's still time to come on down to Bus Boys and Poets at 14th and V and join this discussion. People keep coming. We got like 60 people here, and it's growing. Let's hear the crowd.
Yeah. And we're going to get right back to my man in the green at the end of this break.
This is the Raucous Caucus, WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica and WEAC Radio.
We'll be right back.
Want to keep up with your favorite Jazz and Justice station online? Just log on to WPFW.org. Learn more about our programming, get details of our upcoming events. You can even listen to us online.
That's the best news ever!
So what are you waiting for? Log on to WPFW.org. That's WPFW.org. And don't forget, we're on Facebook. Keep up with us by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/WPFWDC.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
We're on now. Good evening and welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon and I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And some guy to the right of me.
Revolutionary leader of America. We're going to the streets tonight at 8:15. Damn it.
The self-imposed
over this government.
The self-imposed revolutionary leader of America.
Well, I don't care. Check another leader. I'll follow Ron Pinchback. I love Ron Pinchback. I'll follow Ron Pinchback.
There have been a lot of self-imposed leaders.
She can lead us here.
They don't succeed very well.
Amy, we can lead this, right? Get it in the streets.
See, here's the problem.
Terry, is your party going to be called the Revolutionary Party, I fear?
It's the Revolutionary Party of One, calling Terry DeKessler, Revolutionary Party of One.
I've got Ramey on my side. I've got Flowers on my side. We're in good shape.
We are here at Bus Boys and Poets, particularly the Bus Boys and Poets at 14th and V. We'll be here till 7 p.m. and we'll be hanging around afterwards. We're going to be talking. We're chatting. We're talking about, this is our Juneteenth celebration, talking about the first hour. We talked about what the agenda should be for President Obama and things that he can do for the African-American agenda. And now we do want to talk about how do we go about getting that done. And we've got a gentleman over there in the green. Hopefully we can get the mic to him. Got the mic?
Yes.
Let's roll.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yes. My name is Ron Moulton. And I'm probably the only Republican in here.
Uh-oh. Republican? How did he get in here? Right. Where's the sergeant at arms when you need him?
I'm a civil rights Republican.
All right, all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Booker T. Washington still exists.
A black spirit, Republican in D.C. You are spirit, a party of one there.
Yes. Let's let the brave man speak.
So the first thing I want to say is if we talk about corrupt politicians. Can everybody be quiet, please?
Yeah.
If we're talking about corrupt politicians and illegal financing and things of that nature, it's nothing worse than what we saw in D.C. when the campaign was stolen, the election was stolen, when the people were deprived of a fair election in Washington, D.C., and this was done by Democrats. And if Democrats don't stand up and stop doing what we did the other day, when we sent the guy Harry Thomas away, as a hero, after he stole $350,000.
He's no hero to me.
Instead of saying, you need to apologize to all those children who died in Trinidad when you stole the money. That's the first thing. But one of the reasons why I'm a civil rights Republican, I think we need balance of thought. I agree with a lot of the policies of the Democratic policy, and I respect all my brothers and sisters in who are Democrats. But what's missing from us, prime example, we put money in Homeland Security. Right next to Burry Farms in Southeast Washington, D.C. $3.4 billion that Obama put there. Nobody from Burry Farms working there. Okay? Something wrong with that picture.
You bet.
The people in the unions who were qualified to work there in D.C. Nobody from D.C. working there. And Obama said he loved me. See, I'm not like these people who just going to support somebody because they look like me. The people that I hung around that were with King, they said, don't judge a man by the color of his skin or the texture of his hair. And we judging somebody by the color of their skin. And we not getting what we supposed to. The other thing is, the violence in our community, in Chicago, the violence that's happening in Chicago, why isn't he speaking up on that? People are getting slaughtered in the streets of Chicago, and it's not an issue. This bully mess is about a couple of people committing suicide. We have urban violence going throughout America, and nobody's stepping up to deal with all. 6,700 people have been killed in D.C. since 1989. 6,700 people. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's addressing it. So my point is, I just think that we should do like the gays have done, and we should do like the Latinos have done. And they have demanded, they didn't say, let's wait to the next term. They said, give us what you promised us now, or we're not going to support you. I'm not going to be bamboozled. I asked the Democrat, my Democratic brothers and sisters in this room, are you going to be bamboozled?
No.
Unless somebody tell you, wait till the next time, or you're going to get what you deserve now. That's my.
Let me jump in on that, because I appreciate that, Republican or not. I really do. Because what Obama proved. What Obama proved, and this is sad, and I need that afterwards.
Our speaker's proved. Being fanned off right now because he's on fire.
Because they didn't have any water hoses.
He's on fire, we didn't have a water hose.
Obama, I don't doubt, is a good man, and I don't doubt he could have been a good president, and I don't doubt that there are good things that he wants to do. But Obama is the prime example of what happens when you play the game. He got caught in it. He surrendered to it, and he became part of it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to support him this time around. That doesn't mean that at all. Now he doesn't have to get reelected. He's got a little bit more freedom. Now is the time to do exactly what you're saying and say, look, you failed. You sold out, and we know it. But we know you're better than that, and we demand it. And we've got to get in the streets, and we've got to unify to do it. You're exactly right.
And I'm going to throw something else out here because a little bit of a different angle. I personally see this a bit different. I think America is at a crossroads because if we just talk about President Obama and the Democrats, we forget what's going on. We have, I don't know how much you know about the Paul Ryan budget, but it's basically steal from the poor and give everything to mostly the corporations, but to the corporations and the wealthy. You get rid of all of the social programs. You destroy the social programs that help a lot of people of color who are in economic need. So I believe we are at a crossroads. If Mitt Romney gets in, if the Republicans take both houses and they are able to execute things such as the Paul Ryan budget, they're able to reinstitute Don't Ask, Don't Tell or something worse. They're able to overturn Roe versus Wade. I think we are at a crossroads, and I think we're fooling ourselves to focus in on the Democrats and be angry at the Democrats and forget there's a monster out there.
Let me say this.
That's what I believe.
I heard very clearly what you had to say, and I support a lot of your passion. No one's going to defend corrupt people in D.C. They should go to prison, obviously have a jury and a trial, but if found guilty, should serve a long time. There's nothing I hate more than corrupt politicians of either party. I absolutely agree with you on that. On violence in the cities, most of that, unfortunately, is local issues. That's in Chicago. That's in Washington. Now, there are some national gun laws, but very few. Most of them are at the state level, and the Republicans are filibustering to make sure we can't do anything at the national level. Frankly, if you want to know where your guns are coming from, ask the, Republican governor of Virginia and the Republican legislature of Virginia that just recently took there was a law for 20 years on the books in Virginia that said you can only buy one gun a month. Because
not enough for a good IRA.
Because,
man.
You know, usually, if you want to kill someone, one gun will do it. But if you want to kill 50 people, you need several guns. So here's the thing. I'm not disagreeing with anything you say about the problems in America. What I disagree is when you stood up for the first time and said you were a Republican. What I'm telling you is this. Let's take back the Democratic Party. All right? Let's work in primaries for the Democratic Party. You know, my bias is clear, all right? I used to work for Barney Frank in Washington. I've been a staffer on the Hill. I've been a legislative counsel. He's a very good progressive. We had trouble because there's some conservative Democrats out there. So let's do primaries, and let's help the Democratic Party. Because let me tell you this. there are some Democrats on your side. I agree they're not all on your side, but there
John
are a lot,
Conyers. John Conyers. Conyers. How about John Conyers?
Comes on our show all
who
the
is
time.
An honorary member of the Raucous
Donna
Caucus,
Edwards.
I might add.
Edwards, Keith Ellison. There are a lot of good, Barney Frank, good progressive Democrats. What I'm saying is this. Work to take back the Democratic Party, because there are Democrats on your side and there are Democrats that are on your side. But I assure you, as much as I'm staring you in the eyes, there's not a single Republican on your side. Not
all right.
A single one.
Let's go to, we've got a gentleman
Except
in the back.
Maybe
with
you.
The, gentleman in the back with the gray.
Yeah, how you doing? My name is Ron Harris, and I am a Democrat. But even if I was a Republican, I couldn't see myself voting for Mr. Stiff Man himself, Mitt Romney. But my issue is the 60-vote threshold in the Senate. It's ridiculous. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why a simple majority wouldn't work with 100 senators. But I don't know if the president himself has anything that he can do. But if he can, that's something I would like to see in his second term.
That's one of my big issues. I'm really glad you brought that up. Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution. You want to know where this comes from? Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution says each house may determine the rules of its proceedings. However, every house, there's a new house and a new Senate every 2 years. The filibuster came about by accident. The very first Senate in the 1790s actually had a rule that cut off debate. And they were rewriting the rules about 10 or 15 years later, and they neglected to include this rule about cutting off debate solely by a mistake of the scribe. And they said, you know what? That's okay. People know when their talking is done, they will not misuse this rule. Boy, were they wrong. And the filibuster has existed in some form or fashion since the early 1800s. Sir, you are absolutely right. There is nowhere in our Constitution. You're absolutely right that the Senate, when it first forms, can get rid of the filibuster. The Democrats started to do a little something. I think you need to call every senator in Washington, D.C., that includes the two Democratic Virginia senators, that includes the two Maryland-Virginia senators, but Maryland-Democratic senators. But we absolutely need to get rid of the filibuster. One of the reasons why President Obama is having trouble pushing his agenda is because he can't get over a 60-vote hurdle that is not in our Constitution. The opposition party, the Republican Party, is trying to run the government like a parliamentary system, where they do everything they can to stop the government.
You know,
but in Britain, the majority can work. It can't.
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know if you went to a doctor and said you weren't feeling too good and things aren't working, and he gave you this long a list of problems, you would realize you're dead. You know, you really would. The thing I want to stress right now before my brother Satari gets on here, because I know he's got some good points on the fair tax, right? Yeah, okay. But before he gets on here, you know, you've only got, what, 4 months? That's it. This is not the time to be figuring out if I go over to this island or that island or that island. This is a time, as I've said, you know, 4 months is all you've got. If you think this economy is going to recover, you're not paying attention. Whether Obama's elected or Mitt Romney is elected, their economy is not going to recover. There is no basis for it to recover. The rich are doing perfectly fine. Hedge funds are making about 19% average. Are you making 19%? I doubt it. Your wages are going down. The middle class is being destroyed. There's 20 million houses on the market right now. It is not going to go away, and you've got 4 months to change it. We've got to get loud.
Sitari.
4 months.
Sitari.
It's Jabari.
Sorry.
Welcome.
Jabari. People are not blind because they lack sight. People are blind because they lack vision. One of the things that is kind of disconcerting in this conversation is that you juxtapose the words progressive and Democrat in the same phrase, which basically throws 80% of the people off, because I am not a Democrat. I voted for Cynthia McKinney, the real black candidate in the 2008 election. And because you start with a system that ends with the system, you're never going to change the system. I have one simple thing that everybody could do if you really wanted to try to do something tangible to change the system, or to send them, send a tangible message to the system. For people voting, for people who choose to vote in November, who live in D.C., a dead Democrat will win the election in D.C. I would suggest you vote for the Green Party candidate. Try to get double digits of the electorate and send the message, send something tangible that we are mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Until, like Terry said, until there's a tangible expression that will either do two things. Politicians only care about two things. How much you can help me and how much you can hurt me. And we have chosen
and
not
how much
to
money they can raise.
How much you can help me, how much you can hurt me. We never talk about hurting the people. We always wish they would just do what we would like and settle for anything less than that. So I would say, if you really want the system to change this November and you live in D.C., where a dead Obama will win the election, vote for the Green Party candidate, give them double digits in the return, and if we ever had proportional electoral voting, which is eligible under the Constitution, there's no such thing as, there's no requirement for a winner-take-all electoral college distribution, we could do something tangible. But I am 100% behind what Terry says. Until we come in here and stop talking about all the problems and start promoting one, two, or three tangible solutions, and we stand behind it, we will never get anything done.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I just say this. In terms of D.C., you're absolutely right. I have no problem with people voting for the Green Party in D.C. But I would ask the people who live in my state of Virginia, please not to do that, because what happened in 2000 is a lot of people were upset with Bush and Gore, voted for Ralph Nader, and we ended up with a Supreme Court that was corrupt in 8 years with George W. Bush. They got it close enough to steal it. So in D.C., I agree. You're absolutely right. You could certainly show how you feel by voting for the Green Party in D.C.
And Jabari brought up one really, really good point. Really, really good point. I don't even like to say this out loud, but I've said it before, so I'll say it again. Until your politicians are frankly afraid, nothing will change. And I don't want violence, and I'm not advocating violence. These are the men that I follow up here. But they've got to know the threat is real, and they've got to be afraid. And that has to come from us.
And unfortunately, as long as we have money controlling our political system, they're going to look more to $1 one vote than they are to your actual words.
And another thing that we cannot overlook, and if we look at the history of politics, something that has worked, something that worked during the civil rights movement, something that worked during the Arab Spring. Unfortunately, we do a lot of tweeting and we do a lot of texting, but what we don't do enough of is walking outside in the street and putting our bodies in the street in a nonviolent way and putting the numbers in the street. Even if you're not doing anything but walking and holding signs, it makes a change. We saw, when we look at our how hard it is, and it seems impossible to change the system in our country. Let me tell you, Egypt was a strict dictatorship. It was extremely. Now they may not have.
It may be going back there now, but I don't know. The military now may be going back to.
They may very well be, but there was change, and it happened in a hurry when people took to the streets. That's what we need to do. I see we have someone else in the back here.
Guys, wants to get one quick comment. One of the gentlemen stood up and talked about what gay people had done and what Latino people had done. Let me say this, and I'm someone who's actively worked in a gay rights movement. The way gay people got what they wanted from President Obama is they did a very conscious inside-outside strategy. And it works something like this. You have people who are in the White House, who are in the quarters of power, working to help you, and you have people outside in the streets, loud and angry. It's not either or, it's both and.
You're right.
And you don't have to attack one or the other. We need people in the streets, and we need people in the White House. We need people marching, and we need people working for Congress. And if the inside and the outside are talking to each other and working with each other, we can get something accomplished. Because remember, Martin Luther King marched on Washington, but Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. They worked together. And we have to remember that we can work together.
Yeah, we can't forget such as King and Malcolm X. And so many times, inside, the people would say, look, if you don't want to deal with me, there's people outside that's a whole lot more difficult to deal with, and that will get things done. I see we've got
guys, before we go, we got a few minutes left in the program. I'm going to get the last few comments, and then y'all can wrap it up. Okay, I'm going to get the last few comments, and then y'all can wrap it up.
Wonderful.
Okay, this is a great discussion. My name is James Cunningham. I agree with the fact that we have to get out in the streets, and I know a lot of people in D.C. have been out with a group called Our D.C., has been attacking Pepco and some other things that have been very active and I believe effective in that. Now, these are some of the things that are bothering me right now about where we are. Number one, let's just say food. We have seeds that are no longer the people's anymore. You can't plant seeds anymore. Nobody talks about that. I don't hear Obama talking about the Food Act bill, which may even restrict people from planting food in their own gardens. We also have drones that are now trying to have, you know, drones flying over our heads and, you know, checking us out and see what we're doing. Nobody talks about that. Constitutionally, those are some of the things that were promised to be taken care of. And these are issues that I think I'd like to hear addressed sometimes, along with gay rights, which I have no problem with, you know, along with immigration, which I have no problem with. But these are other issues that affect us day to day that we really need to get serious about, and we need to demand a discussion on, and we need to demand action on, not just talk.
All right. That's it.
And Obama has, administrators has prosecuted more whistleblowers than any other administration, has deported more immigrants than any other administration. I just want to put that out there. Next comment.
And let me remind everyone out there, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM and We Act Radio 1480 AM. This is a simulcast of the Raucous Caucus.
And we do have to mention, too, that right after this on WPFW is Brother Ah. So we've got you worked up, and damn it, I hope we're getting you worked up or angry or something. I really do.
And let me say this.
If you've gotten worked up, listen to Brother Ah. He'll calm you down with some great
this
jazz.
This should not be the last town hall meeting. I think, folks, if you want to keep this up, maybe you have to talk to people at Busboys and Poets or these radio stations.
Yes,
but we
sir.
Want to keep up the discussion.
This is great. Okay, we've got someone next.
Yeah, my name is Robert, and I've been involved with the Occupy movement since early fall last year. Three opportunities for people to get involved in the streets.
That's what we're trying to hear.
Philadelphia, the national gathering of the Occupy movements. People from all over the country will be meeting in Philadelphia at Rittenhouse Square, June 30th. Through July 4th. September 16th, Occupy Faith factions are coming together for the day before the one-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street. And Occupy Wall Street is September 17th, and they're calling that Black Monday. So people are looking to get out in the streets. These are three big opportunities. Come out.
That plans your summer.
And please come out and support the Occupy movement. Let me tell you something. The Occupy movement is an amazing movement, but it's also, and I've actually criticized you folks for this, it's also leaderless. What that means is, on the bad side, it means sometimes it seems it has no direction, but on the good side, it means that everyone in this room can join and be a leader for the Occupy movement. You can actually get out there and fight for what you care about, and frankly, I think it's a movement that could use some direction from all the fine minds in this room. So please get out. It's the best movement we have to confront the Tea Party. It's the best movement we have that's going out there and confronting Wall Street. Go out in the street sometime. You don't have to be there every day. You don't have to pitch a tent. Go out and support the Occupy.
Okay. A quick question for all of you. How many of you know, and maybe all of you do and you're better informed, you got better media than I get, how many of you know that there were 10,000 people last week marching Occupy Now in New York City? How many know that?
Very few people knew that.
One, two, three, four. Call up your damn media to begin with and tell them, why aren't you reporting what's happening in this country?
Next, lady, the young lady in the red.
Hi, thank you
Rita
very
Rich.
Much. Now the world knows. Rita Rich.
Keep
one
the mic
thing.
Close.
Supreme Court. Vote for the people you think will provide the best justices. Another thing. Vote locally for the people who you think will provide judges that will give you the justices you want. Make that matter because judges and judge elections count. I don't have time to go through all the stories that I heard at the Campaign for America's Promise event at the Washington Hilton. But there's some very compelling reasons why you should vote for Obama. Even if you disagree with a lot of what he does, the alternative is not pretty.
Powerful, powerful comment.
We began this discussion by talking about the United States Supreme Court. Let me dare say that I think this is the most corrupt, political, lawless United States Supreme Court in a century. All right? You can basically go back to Dred Scott before you find people as awful as this one. These are people that do not care about this document, the Constitution of the United States. They simply are doing what they want politically. And I never would say that about the Supreme Court until Bush v. Gore opened my eyes. So Rita is absolutely right. If you're in D.C., you're right. You can vote for the Green Party. But if you're in Virginia,
We need your vote for Obama, if only to make sure that we don't have any more Scalias and Roberts and Alitos on this court.
All right. The young lady, thank you. Now for the young lady in the green.
Thank you. Just want to say very quickly, we have a locus of energy in this room around which we can really galvanize, organize to address at least a single issue. We have to begin. The talking is important, but we have got to begin some action. The other thing I want to say very quickly is that we have 6 Walmarts coming into this town.
Boo!
Oh, yeah. Right.
My point is, Walmart, of course, has contributed to all that's happened with Trayvon Martin, with Alec, all of
this. That's right.
We needed to have organized to prevent Walmart, a corporation, wealthy corporation that speaks out of both sides of its mouth. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
That's important.
Supported by Kwame Brown.
Yes. That's important because Walmart, when Walmart comes to town, they put out the smaller local businesses that are owned by people in the community. And now money that was going in the community goes back to their headquarters.
And they just
China.
Don't even give health care to their workers. I mean, it's...
And we've got a very important comments from Bill.
Yeah, gotta be. We're
okay.
Coming up on the end here. Rapid
all time. Right, for all of you who think that you have to, if you don't want Barack Obama to be reelected, think about the at least 2.5 million poor people in the rural South who will not be connected to central sewer facilities and get running water. This is a reality. This is the kind of thing that control of the executive branch of the government does. The Republicans, there is a reason why the other side does not want him to get reelected. He runs the executive branch of the government. It does things.
And we hope in the second term,
one other thing else, you know,
he can be more progressive. We really do, and we should push him.
My colleagues here who I love and respect and admire, as you know, keep on comparing to the civil rights movement, et cetera. This is not the same kind of situation we're in. This economic situation is not the kind of economic situation we've been in before. Yes, we've had some managed capitalism before, but this is way, way beyond anything that's existed before. The wealth gap is way, way on anything that existed before.
This is a crucial time.
This is absolutely crucial. This is different, and it demands action. Somebody in this room is a leader. And I know that. One of you in this room is a leader.
I thought you were starting your own revolutionary party, Terry. What happened to that here?
My closest friends were going to hold my coat, and that's it.
Let's go to the gentleman.
Terry, revolutionary party of one. Revolutionary party of one.
1 minute.
One minute ago.
Okay, well, here's what we got to do. We got 1 minute left. We're going to thank We Act Radio.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, we've got 30 seconds for the man in the black. 30 seconds.
Real quick.
We can't discount social media. Earlier you said, we know we tweet, we know we do this. We started the movement with Jenna 6 on MySpace with bulletins.
We need social media.
And thank social you. Media is how you can raise funds.
In 10 seconds, let me say this.
Yeah, and we gotta thank WPFW and we gotta thank Gloria.
We gotta thank,
absolutely.
And most important, we've gotta thank everyone who's come here today. We thank you for all the brilliant comments being a part of this.
Let me say this. President Obama himself said we need to push him. There's nothing wrong with pushing President Obama to do the right thing.
That's not what he said. He said take it to the streets. Trust me, that's what he said.
Take it to the streets.
Thank you very much.
This is the Raucous Caucus, and we'll see you next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, give a round.
At 89.3 FM, this is member-supported WPFW Washington.
Thank you.
Thank you.